This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's going on this Monday around the country here? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hope everybody's doing well. And enjoying a little downtime on this Martin Luther King Day holiday. Of course, Tiki and I have already put 1 hour in the books, and obviously a ton of NFL. We're coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, and with these quarterbacks left still standing, there could be a lot of score changes. Somebody is going to win $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square sweepstakes. So see rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquare.com. You know, the one of the great things about, and when you're a little kid, you don't necessarily process it, what it really means, the depth of it, but Martin Luther King Day, when it was, you know, initially celebrated and made a national holiday, I should say, you know, I don't know, especially when you go back all those years, it the message was there. It wasn't as central as it is now, obviously. But one of the great things about this day is, first of all, it opens up a dialogue for real talk, something that we've had for a long time, actually. The world's changed. There's been a lot of real conversations for a while. But the other thing, and the NBA has been a pioneer with this, I just love the wall-to-wall NBA action.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, you get that in college right now. That's why we're not on TV for this hour. For the next 2 hours, there's games on. There's NBA games all day. It's just great. It's great to see it. And so hopefully everybody's having a great holiday and enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I hope people are relaxing and talking about what's important as well. I think that's the other side of it. That comes out of this last year, as miserable as it was from a, I don't know, social interaction standpoint, at least there were some really good things that happened from because of it.
There were. And you know what we did, actually? Then we're going to get into Lamar Jackson. Kids are obviously off from school. Only Colton goes, as you know. Kinsley's still too young. But the I came back with some drawings the other day of Martin Luther King, and I don't really know, you know, how detailed they are in the explanation for kindergartners. I don't want to take anything for granted, much like when it comes to word structuring or anything. You know, we're going to continue the education at home, right? So today we put on, I found about a 9-minute video geared toward kids. Yeah, it was. And listen, it's one thing to get kids could sit there for 9 minutes and watch their favorite cartoon without making a peep. It's another thing to have them to sit there and watch 9 minutes of an educational. Even though the presentation was very kid friendly, it was a cartoon, as I said, all about Dr. King's life. You know, Rosa Parks was part of that. Obviously, just the undercurrent of change, and you know, leading up to his assassination. So that kind of opened up a few questions. You know, why would somebody kill him? You know, I mean, so, and you have these. Listen, if you want, and I'm not really trying to preach here, but if there's ever a day to say it, it's today, especially where we are as a country. If there's ever a day to try to get a little change, today's the day. And quite frankly, it starts in your own home.
Yeah, agreed.
That's where it starts.
Yeah, just the example that he provided and still inspires today. That's the most important thing. I mean, I was reading a bunch about his education.
Yes.
Like he graduated high school at 15 and he...
Yeah, he skipped two grades.
Skipped two grades, and then by like 22, he had his PhD. It was just crazy.
Well, he went to BU where Santa went for one of his degrees. You know, they went to Boston
University. I did not realize
that.
He did.
He went to BU for a little bit. Yeah.
Look at that. Santa is tied to Martin Luther
King. I don't know how they let Santa in. You got Dr. King, you got Santa. I mean, talk about two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
right?
how they let the dope Santa in. We got Dr. King here. Get this guy out of here. He was Santa.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just,
they were really never let me in, if that's the case.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. You know, we think about the history of this country, and you know, it's George Washington and Dr. King, yeah. Only two Americans have their birthdays observed as a federal holiday. So
that's great.
It's kind of awesome.
Great. Yeah, and let's stop kicking it down. The point about watching the video at home. Let's stop kicking it down the road for the next generation. It starts with these generations.
Agreed.
All right, Teague. So. The new generation of quarterbacks. By the way, did you see the open? And I don't have it word for word. And I don't assume that everybody like sits down in front of the TV at at the exact time the game is scheduled to start. We consume TV differently. Mm-hmm. We know that. So sometimes you got things going on with the family. You might buzz through the open. Whatever, you get to the open and kick. The open for the Rams game for the first game was phenomenal. It goes like this. It goes. We know, and the voice is good. We know that you know about the legends, but you do. And I'm kind of like parsing some of the words, but we know that you know all about the legends, but do you know about the young guns? They celebrate differently. They lead differently. They do things their way. So while the old guard, and you see a picture like Brady and Rodgers and Breeze, while the old guard's still hanging around, the next crop of players trying to carve out their legacy and their lore. Like, it was really to the point where I called my wife and I said, Jen, you have to watch this open. It was, like, really awesome, man.
I missed it.
I was getting Lamar, of course, a piece of that, which gets us to Lamar Jackson. You know, Teague, the dynamic nature to his game is undeniable. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And here's the facts, okay? And not that the facts mean everything. They don't, because there are circumstances there. But he's 1-3 in the playoffs.
Yep.
He's thrown more picks than touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's thrown at least a pick in every game. He's averaging less than 7 yards an attempt, and he's 56% completion rate. None of those numbers will get you an extension, let alone, you know, being glorified and winning MVPs as he rightfully has and is, right?
Yeah.
He has to get to work this off. To me, this is the offseason that will determine whether or not he has a Hall of Fame career or the kind of career where we look back and we say, man, remember when so-and-so burst on the scene and they were doing it, and then, you know, all of a sudden it kind of went away. I think he's at that kind of a crossroads, Teague.
I think he's absolutely at that crossroads, BT. It's not even a question. You know, there's two conversations here. It's one, do you like watching Lamar Jackson? The answer is hell yeah. In fact, I kind of was rooting for him despite my beloved for Bills Mafia, just because I like watching him play. He's just exciting and dynamic. But in that exact same breath, BT, when they get stymied or defense just knows how to play them, that run game, mm-hmm. it becomes one of the worst watches as well. You know what I mean? It's like it can be one of the most exciting watches of a Sunday or NFL weekend, or one of the worst watches if they can't execute.
I know what you mean.
It's like 3 yards, 1 yard, negative play, punt. You know what I mean? That becomes frustrating. But when it's clicking, it's amazing. And so I think he is in this category, Lamar Jackson, where he's so exciting that you actually root for him, even if you're not a fan of his team. You know, he just has that personality as well, where mm-hmm. he's not cocky. He's very matter of fact. You know, he's going to get to work and he's going to do the things that are necessary to be successful. I mean, hell, he won an MVP at 23 years old, BT, and nobody thought he was even going to be a starting caliber quarterback, and he won an MVP. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's got that rootability. But at the same time, rootability doesn't make you a champion, and this Baltimore team is built to be a champion, save for their quarterback. And really, we mentioned just going into the break, BT, their play calling. You know, so there's two conversations here. One about Lamar Jackson and his abilities, and two about how did the Ravens make this easier for him. And it starts with getting him somebody who can be a scary target in the receiving game. Because right now, Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown, he's a really good player. Mm-hmm. He's not a superstar.
No.
He's not.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Maybe he would be a superstar if Lamar was better.
I
you don't know the answer to that.
See, I don't think so, BT, because he's really frail. And not only frail, he's small. Like, people, you know, let's get Devontae Smith in this conversation. People are talking about him coming to the NFL. Oh, he's too little. Devontae Smith is 6'1", maybe trending to 6'2". And yes, he's skinny.
With long arms, Tiki.
But maybe skinny as a rail, but he's got long-ass arms. You're right. They're like literally down to his knees almost.
Yep.
So he's got a humongous catch radius, so he probably plays more like he's 6'2 or 6'3". Mm-hmm. And he can put weight on. Hollywood Brown is my size. He's 5'9", 170-something pounds. You know what I mean? And so there's just a frailty to him that tells you he's not going to ever be that guy who runs across the middle and catches that crossing route or that deep in and takes that shot. He's not going to be that guy like Mike Evans is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, he's not going to be that guy who goes and gets you a jump ball in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, you're stuck. You're stuck with one option in the red zone to throw the ball to.
Mark Andrews.
That's it, BT. Yeah, yeah. That's it. So one, they need to give him some more talent. And then two, they just got to work with him. Repetition over and over. Put in some new concepts that make it easy for him. Like things that just allow him to feel comfortable throwing the ball as opposed to always thinking about it. That's what I see when I see him try to throw the ball. He's thinking too much.
Okay. You know, it's funny because as I ran through the, 1-3 record, 3 touchdowns, 5 picks, blah, 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 56% yep. completion percentage, at least a pick in every game. Now, to be fair, especially his contemporaries, like you look at Baker Mayfield and you say, Baker's more refined as he hits the – but Baker did not play a playoff game at the age of 21 like Lamar Jackson did.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Same with Josh Allen. We know Darnold's been nowhere near the playoffs and Josh Rosen's barely in the NFL. So while the scope of criticism, I'm not saying that it's unjust. I do believe he's got to be more mechanically sound and mm-hmm. just much more viable throwing the football – to have a long, sustained, brilliant career like he might be able to. But I'm going to say something that I know I've never said, and quite frankly, I know I've never even thought this. You ready?
Go ahead.
The Baltimore Ravens are failing him. Like the organization that drafts as well as anybody, that develops as well as anybody, that year to year has as much of a chance, even on down years, they fight, they're competitive, they overachieve. Put it this way, the Ravens barely underachieve.
Yeah.
If anything, the Ravens overachieve. They're a championship organization, and that's their goal, all right? And that's their target. And it's not like, a 40-foot Hail Mary at the buzzer. This is what we aspire to be because this is who we are. Having said all that, and I had to say that because I wanted to be clear how much I respect the Ravens, The Ravens are an inch away from committing a deplorable football sin, an unforgivable football sin.
Go ahead.
And that would be failing one of the most electric dynamic talents, if not the most electric dynamic talent we've ever seen come in as a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Conceptually, they're stale. Mechanics, they're letting them get away with whatever. As you alluded to, and you're right, the weaponry is soft. They have to be. He's got to be better, but they've got to be better.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, BT. And this. I'll start here with the offensive coordinator and Greg Roman, who's been his OC for 2 years now. Last year, and this is the MVP season. Lamar Jackson's second season. So he came in, took over for Joe Flacco, went 6-1, got to the postseason. He was a baby. he's just trying to figure it out. Just go be yourself, man. Don't worry about anything. Just go be yourself. Mm-hmm. And they rushed for 300 something yards a game, like literally 330 yards a game they averaged in those 7 games that he took over. And so their offense, you could tell, was ready to like take a step. And in 2019, they did. They were the number 2 offense or number 1 offense, I think, in yards in the NFL. And a lot of it was because Lamar Jackson was so dynamic. Defenses didn't know how to attack him or stop their run game. You get a dive inside, then he's pulling the ball going one way or the other, making these huge plays. And again, defenses weren't ready for it. And their offense was elite, top 2, I think it was. This year, and again, I say this all the time, defensive coordinators are not stupid. You know what I mean?
They get paid too.
Exactly. They get paid a lot. They're not going to just sit around and say, okay, we're going to let them do the same thing again. We just got to outscore them. Right? That's not what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we saw a step back in their offensive production. They went from number 2 BT in the league to number 19.
Yikes.
In the league. It's that's a humongous drop.
That's ugly.
It's an ugly drop. And the reason I put this on the coordinator as opposed to, you know, the quarterback is because coordinators are supposed to be able to design things when you know it's coming. It's a chess match. Like, you hear about this chess match all the time. Like, we did this, now they're going to do this. So here's what our counter is going to be. The Ravens didn't counter again. They didn't re-counter. And as a result, Lamar Jackson got stuck in this stagnant offense that you were just alluding to. And, you know, how do they fix that? That's where Greg Roman's really his acumen as a coordinator and a play designer, because he also designs the plays, Greg Roman does.
Yep.
As a play designer, is going to be put on full display this offseason.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
About the because we focus on Roman, and I hear you,
mm-hmm.
but what about the head coach? Again, I'm not saying anything. Don't read into it. Oh, shoot.
Yeah,
no, of course you don't fire him. He's terrific. But maybe Harbaugh is not the right coach for somebody like Lamar Jackson.
Maybe.
If you're a special teams guy,
I'm not saying you can't add anything.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. What you're saying. By the way,
maybe he needs to be uniquely coached, is what I'm saying, by a head coach.
You're right. So here's the thing, BT. Their stats that went from 2 to 19, uh-huh. they were still the number one rushing offense.
Number one for sure, yep.
Number one rushing offense.
So they think about how weighted down the
exactly.
passing is
that's
for them
exactly
to be 19
right.
overall.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But to your point, that's an interesting observation because I haven't thought about it. So when you look at teams like, say, the Rams or let's say the 49ers, who have these gurus, put that in quotes, right? These offensive gurus as head coach.
Andy Reid.
Yep, Andy Reid. They also have coordinators. And so it's like this collaborative effort from, you know, best in knowledge, best in, you know, class, from everybody else. You're out there researching, you're having conversations with other offensive coordinators, you're talking to college coaches, you're doing all this stuff. You might be onto a little something with John Harbaugh because it's not his acumen.
It's not his thing.
Right.
Not his background.
To observe or absorb new offensive schemes or whatever it may be,
nope.
and then collaborate with the offensive coordinator and Greg Roman.
That's what I'm saying.
And create this new path for Lamar Jackson. That's interesting. It really is. Cause I haven't thought about that, but it may be the case. And the only way to mitigate that is if you go get an offensive coordinator who's just elite and on that head coaching path. You know what I mean? Who's, he's just a different level of offensive coordinator and can really think outside the box.
It's an
interesting thought. It really is.
Okay. I saw an interesting tweet. Let me read this for you. It's from Jeremy Fowler, who's with ESPN senior reporter, NFL reporter. I should say, ESPN senior NFL reporter. There we go. He just tweeted this out. Multiple sources connected to Eagles coaching search believes Pats OC Josh McDaniels is a prime target for the job. Bucks DC Todd Bowles interviews today, and he's got some internal support. Chiefs offense coordinator Eric Bieniemy does not have an interview planned. Stay tuned. So, you know, not that Eric's really been connected to the Eagles. It's always been kind of maybe the Texans or bust, or at least that's been the belief. Unless something happens the last second and they have a change of heart or whatever, they just shift and pivot. It looks like he's not getting that job.
No.
So it looks like it could be whittled down to one. And at this point, the Texans job, I don't even know if that's a good job if your quarterback wants out.
No.
It's an interesting tweet right there.
Yep.
All right, Teak. Hey, you know, one of the things, and we could talk about, you know, the play to Lazard and all the things you talk about when you talk about the Packers winning this past weekend. But you know what you really have to talk about, which might not be as sexy, but certainly as pivotal in terms of the reason for the win? Aaron Rodgers was comfortable.
Yeah, very.
He barely got dirty, barely got touched. One of the guys who kept him clean, offensive lineman, pro bowler, Elgton Jenkins joins us next. Talk some Packers. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Teaky and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, around the country. What's going on? We've got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next segment. Next hour, what are we going to cook up for you? Well, the Chargers going in a different direction. We'll get back to some of the head coaching stuff. We told you late last week it looked like Campbell was going to be the guy for the Lions. He is. We know all about Rob Saleh with the Jets and, of course, Urban Meyer with the Jags. But the Eagles gaining some clarity with their search, and the Texans seem to be a mess. But, Teak, right now, we're talking about the teams that are still playing, and one of the gentlemen who's still playing And his name is Elton Jenkins, made the Pro Bowl, offensive lineman. And Elton is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Elton, congrats on the win and welcome to the show for the first time. How you doing today?
I'm good. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Listen, I want to know, I mean, I don't even think Aaron Rodgers has to leave his uniform with the trainer to wash. He didn't get touched. That uniform is spotless, man.
Yeah, you know, in the offensive line room, we take pride in protecting our quarterbacks and carrying lanes for our running backs. So, yeah, it's real good to see.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And you got a heck of one. Billy Turner has been amazing, obviously. You as well. Corey Lindsey is going to the All-Pro. I mean, Aaron Donald is the man. I mean, we know he's the man. He's been defensive. He's been MVP, defensive MVP a couple of times. You know, when you're facing a guy like that and you guys handled him, he only had one tackle, I believe, no sacks and only one tackle. What's the mentality? What's the conversation in your line room when you're having a game against a guy like that?
Yeah, just making sure that he don't really do anything to affect the offense and the things that we've been doing all season. You know, Saturdays when we have Fridays this week when we have our when we look over the game plan and just tell about the people that we're facing. And you know, the thing with me was just playing my game, just going out there and play how I play every other week. And you know, just playing a guy like that and his caliber, I feel like that was the main focus of me, just playing my game.
Yeah, no, it kind of makes you rise to the occasion, especially if you have the ability, which your group certainly does. And BT's joking, like, Aaron Rodgers didn't get hit. But, you know, you look at your quarterback. He is likely going to win the MVP this year as he leads this team. And you're young. You're only in your second year at Mississippi State. You know, how is it playing with Aaron Rodgers? Because he's got to be one of those guys who you looked up to when you were young. You know, obviously, you were probably in high school when he was just starting and getting into the league. Like, how is it playing with a legend of the game right now?
For me, being in my second year and just seeing how he come to work every day and how he approached the game and how much he loved winning, I feel like it give the whole locker room those same vibes. Everybody come to work and we approach the game as a business, but we also have fun also. So just being around a guy like that and him leading the team, I feel like it helped us a lot.
But there's got to be pressure. And maybe I shouldn't say got to be. Maybe mm-hmm. I shouldn't assume anything. But, you know, I think you said you're a young kid, year two. And Aaron Rodgers has been around a long time. And I know that, you know, the conversations that are had by people like us on the radio and TV might not necessarily be conversations in the locker room, though sometimes they can be. I know that you don't break a huddle saying, oh, man, I better make sure I protect Aaron because he's trying to get that second championship because these idiots on the radio think he needs to have a better legacy. I know that you guys don't think about that. But is there a little pressure to make sure that you are fully, I don't say your best because that's always the goal, but that you don't make any stupid mistakes, like any mental mistake, because he'll light you up, like Tom Brady, he'll light you up.
Yeah, me, myself, honestly, like, I feel like it's more pressure within myself and doing my job. 12, you know, he always talked to us, he said, you know, people, it's going to be ups and downs, roller coaster throughout the game. And we all understand that we just play the game we play. And when things go low, you know, we still stay level-headed. And when things high, we still stay level-headed. So I feel like we have around the locker room and also in the offense, we have a better understanding of knowing how to ride that roller coaster and not get too high and not too low. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't say pressure. I just say we all play for one another. And just making sure and holding each other accountable and doing our job.
I got you. Makes sense. Spoken like somebody who's part of a very good cohesive unit, as you are. And that's Elton Jenkins from the Packers, lineman, Pro Bowler. He's already got one on, and he's only been around 2 years. So this young man is starting to take off, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Look, your guys' pass blocking is one thing, but your run game has been great, really, the last couple of years. And this past weekend was no different. You rushed for 188 yards. You almost had a 100-yard rush. Aaron Jones, I think, was a yard short of it. But there's a pride in not just being a pass blocker. And I know just from playing the game and knowing what my offensive line wanted to do, you guys want to run the ball. We think about Aaron Rodgers as a pass-first quarterback, but this team really is about running the football. You guys have like a mentality, a dirty – I don't want to say dirty, but I used to love my dirty offensive line. Like these guys that just wanted to drag people in the mud. Like where is your mindset as far as the run game is concerned for the Green Bay Packers? Because I think that's the ultimate catalyst.
Yeah, we always try to, in the offensive line room, we always try to establish a run game, making sure we give the running backs the holes to run through. And we got guys like Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon, all those guys. When they see holes, they hit them with bad intentions. So just knowing that giving them holes and giving them running lanes, I feel like it helped the offense a lot by making the safeties come down, and then 12, Devontae, all our receivers, Marquez, Allen, all those guys can then hit DBs and corners over the top. So I feel like we always have a good game plan of what's going on. So establishing the run is one of the main things.
Now you're rare because you have been in the league for 2 years and you've been in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. Last year had to leave a bad feeling. You know, what's your mindset heading into this NFC Championship game, especially because it's at home?
Yeah, the road to Tampa come through Lambeau, and last year in the NFC Championship game, we was like I understood that we was four quarters away from the Super Bowl, and now seeing that, you know, we back in this same game and can't take anything for granted. So just going out there preparing for the game at practice and making sure that we do the little things to get the game won.
And by the way, what is it like to have, even though it's only a few people, but some people back in the house? It's got to be awesome.
You say, well, oh yeah, I love it. The fans in the stadium, they was, oh man, they brought so much juice. I feel like they helped us a lot throughout the game, you know, with the crowd and just bringing all the energy to the fan. I mean, all the energy to the stadium. Man, I loved it.
That was incredible. And listen, by the way, you know, just to make sure we don't have any issues down the road here, Elton Jenkins with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, if we're at the Super Bowl, if we're at the Pro Bowl in a couple of years, and you and Aaron Donald are in the same restaurant, we're not going to have to get between you guys. Everything, this doesn't extend past the field now, does it?
No, it don't. You know, two guys out there competing, you know, things always happen. Like when I was in college playing against Jeffrey Simmons, we used to always argue, fight at practice and all that. But, you know, it's just two guys want to win every rep. So I don't feel like there's no bad blood.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, so, I mean, there were no fisticuffs. I mean, there was no punches thrown at nothing.
I love
like that.
It. And listen, the young buck is saying, hey, I respect you, but this is my piece of grass right here. I get it. And I know Packer fans love it. And I know Packer fans love you. This is incredible. Todd Bowles' defense is interesting, you know, how they come at you. He's fairly predictable in what he does, but what he does, he's very good at. I know you guys are just starting to hit the film. What do you expect in terms of a style from the Tampa Bay Bucs?
And just a lot of different fronts and personnel thrown at us. We just got to go out there and play within the offense and just do the things that we are supposed to do throughout the week.
All right. Well, listen, this is going to be a fun week out there in Wisconsin for sure. The place is going to be popping. I don't know if they – maybe you know, Elton. Are they going to allow more fans? Has the local officials, have they said anything, or is it still the same amount?
No, I don't know yet. Hopefully they do, because the fans that we had this last past game, they brought so much energy. And not having them fans throughout the whole year and then them coming in, bringing all that energy, it was amazing.
No, it's just fun to watch. It was coming through the TV, but they're Packer fans, so that's what we expect. Hey, listen, enjoy a few days as you prep. We'll all be watching almost the Super Bowl, and it's the biggest obstacle in the world. So revel, stay focused as you will, and enjoy it, man. We'll talk to you soon, Elton.
Take care.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yep, you got it. That's our pleasure. Elton Jenkins from the Packers. Good young man there, Teak, right?
Yeah, no, they got a heck of an offensive line, BT. They're two all-pros, even though Bakhtiari is not playing right now, but that's where the strength of this team is. And people, you know, kind of just want to focus on, you know, the quarterback and Davante Adams and, you know, the studs that get all the limelight. But their center is great, and Corey Lindsey and Jenkins, who we were just chatting with, and Wagner, Ricky Wagner, has had to jump over back and forth because of the Bakhtiari. And they've just been fantastic as a team.
Well, I mean, but this is true, obviously. This is the way it goes. Even think about, you know, the great game that Justin Fields put on Clemson. Obviously, we focused more on that than we did on the Buckeyes' offensive line and how they carved out. Now, it was a little point of reference. Maybe you throw it in there and then you move on to your next point. But, yeah, without that, I mean, you want to find a good offensive performance, and I'm obviously not telling you anything you don't know. But if you don't have time to think, time to throw, holes to run through, you're not scoring points.
That's right.
It's that simple. You're not winning. Period.
Agreed.
So that was a really impressive performance, and we will it's Brady Rogers. You kidding me? It's absolutely phenomenal. Let's get the update. We'll get that from Rich Ackerman coming up next, and then after that, inbounds, out of bounds. So we all know that James Harden did work in his first game with the Nets, but could you make the case that the trade should have never happened? That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, doing more. Time for that. Doing more brought to you by the Home Depot for DIY project. It's almost that time. Spring's not that far around the corner. You know you'd be hustling to Home Depot, get your gear. And you know that Home Depot is always going to be in your corner. Now with their home mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today. Get started only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. And the Pelicans, they snap a four-game skid last night. They beat the Kings, and they win by 5, 128-123, in part to Zion, who was beasting. Zion finishes with 31 points on a season-high, made 13 field goals, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. So Zion flashing, doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into some of the coaching stuff and some of the twists and turns that are coming. You know, listen, the Chargers with Staley, not so much the Lions with Campbell, but we will react to all the what we have so far. We'll react to all of them, you know, in terms of, I don't know that we're going to completely reset, you know, the Urban Meyer, Rob Salah stuff, but at least give you a nice sense of our thoughts on what each organization mm-hmm. did. And also take the two remaining jobs. And, you know, the big issue is what do you do with Deshaun Watson, which will dictate whether or not that's a good job or a horrendous job.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a big, because if without Deshaun Watson, you're basically starting over.
You're an expansion team.
That's right. J.J. Watt, just talking about trading or at least facilitating his request to be traded and get out of there too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a completely different, feels like rudderless organization right now. BT, did you see this meme that's going around with Drew Brees?
Which meme?
It was Drew Brees. It wasn't a bad one. It was at the end of the game. You know, he's standing on the sideline with his helmet on talking to Jameis Winston.
Didn't see it.
And it, just from lip reading, mm-hmm. it looks like he says, "This is your team now."
Well, it's a meme or it's a GIF? It's video? A meme
it's a
is
video.
It's a still shot.
Well, no, meme. Well, whatever it is. It's a GIF.
Oh, okay. That's why I said yeah. meme. Okay.
It
no,
just,
I still it's, haven't seen
it
that
just
video.
It just loops. It just
really?
It just
so
loops.
So it's a little, looped up GIF.
Yeah. He's just pointing at Jameis Winston. It looks
now,
like
huh?
he's saying, "This is your team now," which is what we've been speculating about for a long time.
Well, I wonder right? if he said that, you know, when he first got hurt, "This is your team now," and then Taysom Hill got the football.
That's
he,
a good point.
He may have said that in the past.
That's a good point. No, but this was right after this game was over.
Interesting. I did not see that. I'm going to look for it during the next break.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, yeah, send it over. I'll definitely check it out. But right now, we check out a little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to roll?
Yep, let's do it.
Hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so we got some good ones here for you today. Number one is teams around the NFL find their new coach. The Falcons landed former Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. And now, after the Saints got bumped from the playoffs, the team announced that they're hiring Terry Fontenot, I believe Fontenot yep. is how I believe how you say yep. Terry Fontenot, away from the NFC South rival as their new GM. So, okay. You know, kind of going into somebody else's cupboards here, which is usually what happens. In or out, it's a smart decision to hire the GM after you hire the head coach.
I don't think it matters. I'm going to say inbounds or out of bounds. It doesn't matter. I don't say out of bounds, but it doesn't really matter. I think what's important is that you tie the two together, meaning that they are bound to be a team and they have to work together, and that's in drafting the right, you know, players, but also, you know, making the right personnel decisions, etc., etc., so that the coach feels like he's getting what he needs and the general manager feels like his coach is coaching the right type of players. And if they both fail, then they go together. Mm-hmm. That's it doesn't matter who you hire first.
Yeah, I think back in the day it was more applicable where, first of all, in terms of sheer contract value, like this disparity now between the head coach and the general managers, it's absolutely crazy. I don't know if I have all the numbers, but I'm pretty sure that in most situations, the head coach is out-earning the GM.
No doubt.
3-1, maybe. Some situations, 4-5-1, like Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I was going to say at least 3-1.
Yeah, of course. So when that happens, obviously, we know who has the juice and who has the hammer. And if it goes awry, it's not necessarily a good thing when you have that imbalance on contracts and egos and decisions to be made. But this, you know, I would really prefer something reversed. I don't like this, to bring the GM after the head coach. I know it's a little bit more modern way of doing it. I don't think it's great. I don't think anything's perfect either, having said that. But I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't love it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. The NFL Combine typically takes place in Indianapolis, but things will be different this year due to COVID-19 restrictions. SI reports the league's considering spreading the Combine out across the country and doing a more regional version of the event to allow teams to gather information about players. Now, they've also proposed formalizing pro days and allowing league officials to conduct drills in a more standardized manner. So this could be a complete overhaul of the Combine as we know it. In or out, the NFL should consider a regional-type Combine rather than the centralized one in Indy like in years past.
I would say inbounds of this, BT.
Really?
Because the Combine is a show now. It's a TV show, more so than it is a fact-gathering or evaluation process. It just, there's too much going on to really understand who you're sitting down with. You get, you know, 20 minutes with a kid. You know, you never really get to know them. And so I think regionalizing it lessens the number of kids in a specific region and also gives you more time to just look at them and talk with them and get to know who they are.
You know, I'm going to say, I'm going to say out of bounds for this reason, because the Combine, its central purpose clearly is to evaluate players. But the other purpose is to lay the foundation, the framework for trades. You know, think about all the discussions, whether it's draft day trades, whether it's other, you know, intel on players starting to get together with on contracts with agents and GMs. Like, that is, if you have it dispersed in multiple locations.
Yeah, but they also have the league meetings still and stuff
I know. I guess. And listen, you can do anything you want these days. I hear you. It's like it's a complete necessity. But I do like the one-stop shopping. I'm thinking about it from a viewer's point of view, which obviously includes me. And I don't know if I want to hop through 4 or 5 days of watching the Combine. Even though the Combine's more than one day here, there's certain things. Like, I'm not watching the offensive line to work out. I just don't care. You know, I know who's good. At least I think I know who's good. I'll see a few 40 times and that's it. I don't want this to drag on forever. I want to see some kids throw. I want to see some corners. I want to see the hips and all that stuff. But I don't think you need to change it. I'm going to say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
James Harden made his debut for the Nets this weekend, and shall we say, it was pretty good. He netted a triple-double while dropping 32, and there's reports out of Houston that say Victor Oladipo may be willing to stay after all now. That's pretty interesting in stark contrast to what we've been thrown in there every time we talk about this. Now, the third team in the deal, however, the Pacers, may have gotten the short end of the stick. Now, Indy's prized acquisition was Caris LeVert, but a physical, this is scary stuff. Shown a mass on his kidney, and he will be out indefinitely, obviously undergoing massive extensive testing. So, considering LeVert's condition, it was irresponsible of the lead to allow this trade to go down before proper physicals were performed, in or out.
I mean, just on the surface, the answer is inbounds, BT, but, I mean, having a liver CAT scan, and I wonder how they even found that, and they missed it at the beginning of the season, which wasn't that long ago, BT. It's like you go into every year, you get a full physical. How did they miss a mass on his kidney?
Yeah.
I
would know better than me with that.
Unless because of how this season, well, first of all, it was a truncated offseason, and then nobody was actually together until they actually got together. So maybe the physical wasn't as thorough. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing here. I mean, so by the nature of this happening, I have to say inbounds, but this brings a lot more questions than it does, you know, opinions or insight. I don't know. It's interesting.
I agree. I'm a little perplexed. My absolute answer is inbounds, but I am perplexed in 2021 when, you know, we have access to everything. The MRI tubes, I mean, it's easy stuff at this point. Now, it's a lot easier to diagnose, you know, a fracture or, you know, something structurally with a bone, sometimes masses. It is imperfect machinery, as we know, unfortunately. So, you know, maybe it just human error occurs. You'd like to see it not occur with something like this. Forget about the trade, just for the human being's well-being. You know, this is tricky. It's not like a bum shoulder. This is different. But you got to figure this out. And at this point, based, you know, I would go so far as to say, based on the severity of it, I would insert the ability to rescind the trade. I mean, why not?
Yeah, because you're getting a player that's not going to play for you.
Yeah, I mean, and God forbid.
In theory, who knows how serious this is, but...
Well, say if he doesn't play this year, and that would be best case, like he's okay, or he doesn't play for a month, whatever. God forbid, what if it's something really bad?
I know.
And he never plays for you.
That's right.
I mean, I don't even want to speak that into existence, but you know what I'm saying. You've got to be able to guard against this, and they did not, so my answer is inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Get to the clip show. They're rolling four straight. They put up a 30-point win over the Pacers and now sit just a game back at the Lakers with the top spot in the West. After the game, Marcus Morris said the team's chemistry is much better than a year ago.
I feel like our energy is way better this season. I think guys are buying in. Guys are, you know, enjoying playing the game. And obviously, there's been a lot of talk about PG and, you know, how he's feeling going into the season. And like I said last game, man, I'm excited to see how far he can take this, man. Like I said, he's definitely playing like MVP basketball.
And as we know, Teak, Paul George added, he's on a mission after his struggles on and off the court during the bubble.
I'm coming back with vengeance. You know, I didn't like not so much of the noise and everything around it, but just the fact that people saw weakness. And I had to address that. I had to answer to that. And had to, you know, that fueled me. That put me, you know, in a place where I wanted to come back and be myself again.
Okay, inbounds, out of bounds. The Clippers are the biggest threat to the Lakers in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say yes. The one thing you'd worry about is if they get a little bit old with their bench. That's including Marcus Morris is 31 and Lou Williams 34. But I'm going to say yeah, because this team has two stars. One's a superstar and one's just is just below that. And especially if he's motivated and they start playing together.
Yep.
Which is something they didn't do a lot at all last year. I'm going to say inbounds, definitely.
Definitely inbounds for me, too. Definitely. And I had the Clippers going to the finals a year ago over the Lakers because I didn't think there'd be chemistry issues. I just thought, hey, you know, you have two great two-way players that want to play with each other. This thing should be rocking and rolling. And for a multitude of reasons, it did not. This year is very different. I love what I'm seeing. By the way, you know, the Suns, who have had a good year so far, they're still, you know, they're not there yet. Because they're just not. I mean, their development's great, but they're not that team. Portland's not that team. Spurs, not. These are all playoff teams right now.
The
Spurs,
Jazz are probably a player away from being that team.
Talking about Phoenix?
No, the
or
Jazz.
Portland. I left the Jazz for, like, because they're playing pretty good.
They are.
I like the Jazz.
But I look at them and I'm like, all right, who's the other, like, dude?
Besides Mitchell?
They could score 30 if you needed to.
Don't have it.
Yeah.
No, unless you get 15, you know, alley-oops.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. I hear you. It's probably not the way to go, but it looks like the Clippers could threaten the Lakers, no doubt. Third hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.